Who can imagine nowadays to go into tomorrow without the Master?
No.
Without the hope that He gives us. I don't want to do that. Kind of lost my voice earlier, so. God is a redeemer. Understand that. God does not bring condemnation upon you. He brings conviction. He does that because He wants to rescue us. Understand that. Amen? You have to understand that, or you walk out here this morning condemned, and you never come back again. And that's the devil. He wants to do that to you. He wants to tell you you can't do this thing. He wants to tell you that you don't have the strength to do it, that there's no hope for you. You're too far gone. You've been involved in too many times. You tried, you failed, you tried, you failed. Well, the devil is a father of lies. Understand that. And boy, I tell you, when you put your mind to it, you get called upon the Lord and you hang on to Him, you can do anything. All things are possible with the Lord God. So get that lying spirit out of your head. God come to redeem us. Think of that. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you did last night, a week ago, a month ago. You got people in your lives today that will not forgive you for the things you've done in the past. We can't change that. But God offers us forgiveness. He understands that our struggle is that we were born in sin and that we had a father of lies. The devil was our father until we got born again. We all got stuff in our past, right? Anybody want to stand up and share your past with me this morning? I love good gossip. No. But understand, the number one thing is coming to God, confessing your sin to Him, and repenting from it. And following Christ, and you got a new path. Some people in your life might never ever come to you and say, "Well, I forgive you." We would love to hear that. Hey, I'm a new person today. But some people might never recognize that. But just know that God, He's the most important one. It's God on the throne. Amen. Amen. And for those who have not forgiven you for whatever you've done in the past, just continue to pray to soften their hearts. But for us sitting here today, as followers of Jesus, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you better confess it to the Lord and tell Him to take it away. I mean, He forgave you of all your sins. He forgave you your death sentence. Everything you did against Him, if anyone has a reason to hold a grudge against it, it'd be God. Amen? But He chose to forgive. He chose. John 3:16, He chose to send His Son to this earth to forgive you of your sins. And we need to forgive one another of our sins. And it means forgive. And we're talking about the church, the body of Christ also. Forgive one another. Now, one of you guys in here are perfect. Including myself. Amen? We're all going to cause offense from time to time. Amen? We get together, you talk it out, you forgive one another, you pray, and you go on. And you leave it in the past. How terrible it is to say, "Well, I forgive you." And next thing you know, they throw it back up in your face. As soon as something else happens, they throw it back at my face. That's not forgiveness. And the Master says, if we don't forgive, if we choose not to forgive, then our Father in heaven will not forgive us. It kind of reminds me of the guy, it's a parable in the Bible, I'll make it a short one, but where the guy was, owed this guy $100,000, I'll put it that way. And boy, they're going to throw him in debtor's prison. "Oh man, come on, I can't afford to pay, I got wife, I got kids." And the guy forgave him. $100,000 debt, wiped it out. Whoa, man, he went home excited. Then he remembered, this guy owed him $50. So he went to get the money from this guy, and the guy said, "Oh man, I don't have the money, I don't have the money, give me more time." He said, "No." And threw him in debtor's prison. And the guy who forgave him of the $100,000 said, wait. He rescinded that, and he went to jail. So you're here today, and God's forgiven you sins. He forgave you, I'm going to call it $100,000 debt. So who are you to be holding unforgiveness against somebody on a $50 debt? Amen? Forgive them. Forgive them is a choice. Forgive them, pray about it with them, and bury it. Let it lie. Satan is the one that brings it back to you. Understand that. You forgave somebody, and next thing you know, you get a disagreement. What does Satan want you to do? Bring out that last thing. If you've been married, you probably have one or two disagreements in your life per day. But man, when you truly, and I'm talking now as brothers and sisters in Christ, we forgive the body, how much more should we forgive our spouses? Hear that, honey? Okay. But okay, I offended you, I apologize. Forgive me. Yes, I forgive you. You pray and you go on. And when it comes back up again, it's not God bringing it back to you. That's Satan, because he wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy your joy. Amen? He wants to walk around unforgiveness in our heart. That will be at odds with God. So we just got to recognize the things of the devil. And boy, he's a sly feller. I'm telling you that. He can give you every reason in the world to bring something back up from the past, right? I know. He can. Now, forgiveness is a choice. I know sometimes we say, well, if God convicts me of forgiving somebody, I'll do that. He don't have to convict you, but he already told you that. Amen? I mean, I hear a lot of people tell me, well, I understand, Pastor, but when God convicts me of this, wait, if it's already written in the Word of God, there's no conviction on that. He's already told you, this is a sin, get out of it. Amen? It'd be kind of like, I always pick on my wife a lot, but when we do our wedding vows, okay? Love, honor, and cherish, and forsake all others, okay? That's our wedding vows, okay? And then, I come home one night, and I bring a lady home with me. And she says, all right, get out, Stark, and don't come back. Oh, wait. Get out! Well, that's not quite fair, is it? I mean, she'll at least give me a warning, wouldn't you think? No. There's no warning to it, right? Because I already told her up front, honor, forsake all others, right? So I had to wait for her to convict me and tell me, hey, don't do that. Because it's already there. That's the same way the Word of God. It's written. And that is not going to change. Now, we can find different ways of trying to change it to please our sinfulness that we want to live in. But it doesn't change the Word of God. Other things we were convicted of giving. I talked before about lottery tickets. You know, I used to buy a lottery ticket. I always told God, this is years ago, I wasn't even born again yet. But I had a good heart because God let me win the lottery. And I'll build you a church. Yeah. I hear everybody say, hey, when the lottery passes, we're going to build you a big church. I'll don't do that. More headaches. I mean, the more area, the carpet, the sweep, you know, all this kind of stuff. And God convicted me of it. He says, Darky, he says, I don't need to hire a lottery, buy me a ticket, or build me a church. My people will do that. I never bought a lottery ticket. And he convicted me of that. You might be sitting here today, you might buy a ticket once in a while. Well, that's between you and God. But he convicts me not to, you know. And people say, well, when God convicts me of it, okay. Now, if you're laying down $20 at a time, there's a problem with you. I think, as an opinion, because you're not relying on God. You're relying on a lottery. Amen? But anyway, I'll leave that with God. Between you and God. But again, if the Word already says it, there's nothing else has to be said. He's, oh, okay. And I tell you, it makes the life a lot easier. Amen? But the scripture here kind of jumped out to me just a minute ago. And that's in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13. Kind of winked at me a little bit ago. Because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen? And that's a real thing. If it wasn't, Jesus wouldn't have told us about it. Matthew 7, 13 says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. Enter by the narrow gate. Walk your path on the narrow path. Narrow gate. And we got to remember that. I shared this before, but imagine yourself going to the airport and you go through the little thingamabobs that you got to shuffle through. Turnstile, thank you. And I'm telling you, you just barely fit through it. Now, can you imagine trying to carry four or five baggages with you? You know, you get your suitcase, and ladies, you got your hair stuff, then you got your makeup, and then you got this clothes and these clothes, just because these clothes might not fit right that day. And you're trying to take all the stuff through it, and you can't get through it, and they say, hey, listen, put down the suitcases, Right, Bonnie? Put down the suitcases and come through by yourself. Get rid of it. Well, folks, to me that shows the same thing about sin. We have things in our life that we hang on to. Well, yeah, it's sin, but we hang on to it and we say, oh man, we all get to heaven and we're all marching towards heaven. Then you get stuck in that turnbuckle. Why? Because you didn't put it down. You want to hang on to it. Or sometimes they think, well, I know, but I'm going to hang on to it just for a little while. That's very dangerous. Because it's just not saying, oh, forgive me, God. It's conviction of the heart. And if you can carry your sin with you, there's no conviction yet. And boy, the Bible says that's sin. Get out of it now. Anybody else hear something?
Yeah, it's Ben's
problem. Oh, okay. Amen. But it's a narrow gate that we go through. Otherwise, we have to throw the things of the world off of us. Wide is a gate that leads to destruction. And many finds that. Think of that. And so what happens a lot of time, again, we hang out with people who's headed towards a wide gate. Amen? Uh-huh. We hang out with those headed to the wide gate. That way we can convince ourselves that we're headed to heaven. It would be so great up there, you know. And we're all headed to hell at the same time. Because we have this false peace about ourselves. Because we know there's a God, we know there's Jesus. But we're not falling. We're not following Him. And God doesn't want that. We was talking last week about hell. I was going to touch it for 1 second. It's Revelation 14:11. It talks about hell. Now, hell, again, is a real place. And hell's going to have a lot of people in it. It's already got a lot of people in it. But it says, in the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever received the mark on his name, of his name. And that's the conviction. Or may I put it this way? That's the result for all those who choose not to follow Jesus. Again, isn't that God's going to send you there? You're already headed that way in your sin. That sin is taking you there. And I don't think anybody wants to go there. But a lot of times people don't know how to get out of it. And it's turning to Christ, call upon Him, surrender your life to Him, and follow Him. And the more you hear the Word of God, the more strength you get. If today is the only time you hear the Word of God, is today, man, you need more. You need more. This is very encouraging to come together, but you need it tomorrow, the next day, and you need to be in that Word and study that Word, be around other people. You have people ever come over to your house and visit with you? Other Christians? Pump that Bible out. Hey, man, I'm glad you made it today. Hey, Daryl, let's read this today. Hey, I thought I may come watch a movie with you tonight. Hey, bring that popcorn over and we'll read the Word of God. Boy, no amens on that one, is there? But seriously, to grow, that's where we need to be. If you're not where you're supposed to be at, you need that. You got to want that. And the devil will try to interfere every time you plan on reading that Word of God, every time you plan on going to church, every time you plan on going to Bible study. He'll either try to interfere with it or your own undisciplinary self will stop you from going. Sometimes, oh boy, the devil's all over me yesterday. I was planning on coming, Pastor, but no, you're not disciplined enough. I never heard anybody tell me, but I was going out last night, eat a steak dinner over at Robson's restaurant. But I just decided not to go. I don't hear that very often. Hey, I was planning on going on a picnic. No, I thought, I'm not going to go. No. Well, I'm going to plan on coming to church, but I mean, I'm just telling you that we're not disciplined enough in a relationship of Christ and the commitment to His body. It's like 2 George, hey, thanks for coming. They all had nothing else to do. I hear that quite often. And they don't mean anything bad by it, you know, but it is, oh, I have nothing else to do. You know, I don't tee off till 1 o'clock. But it's going to be, oh, man, our relationship has to be, oh, man, this is Sunday. Get to go to church. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Wednesday night. Oh, get to go to the Bible study. Oh, Friday night. Whatever. I mean, we have services here 3 times a week, so one of them ought to fit your time period, right? We try to do that. Amen? Some of you come to all three, but you can't. I mean, but it's just available. Amen? Whether the world is today and things going on, but there's always time to get in there, you know, and hear the Word of God. And you get excited. When I come in and see you guys' faces looking back at me this morning, I get excited. I think, oh, thank God I'm not the ugliest one in the room. No, no, no. But I want to show you a couple of things this morning. I'm going to talk a little bit about Revelations here in a little bit. But I want to share a couple of things here before I step into Revelations of some of the things that's going on this week. It's getting harder and harder to find the truth out there. But we're building up to one world government, one world order, one world religion, one world currency. And folks, it's harder and harder to hear the truth anymore. It's harder to get anything. Now you think the number one thing that anybody wants to share with somebody will be the truth. Again, I'm putting this out here to you this morning. You take it from there. I'm just trying to share the truth. And most of the time, anytime you find the truth anymore, it's going to be in church and a few the Bible. Yes, amen. The Bible is always true. And there's a few places out there where they are really bringing the truth on a world level. Okay. Now, this is my own comment here, and I'm going to read this. And I believe Brother Kenny posted something the other day from the VA, and I'll share that too, if you don't mind, brother. Okay. My comment was, whatever you think of this experimental medicine that goes up, that's up to you. But I think we should be able to hear the side effects. Why do they hide this information? And out of the Judicial Watch is an organization, it's a truth organization, and the guy is a Christian behind it. He said they announced today, and that was the 14th of July, that it received 75 pages of records from the Department of Veterans Affairs detailing the adverse reactions veterans had to the COVID-19 vaccine. As of April of 2021, Veterans Health Services reported 895 serious reactions, which included 20 cardiac arrests, 36 strokes, 15 cases of deep vein thrombosis, thank you, 10 heart attacks, 19 pulmonary embolisms. Man, you're a doctor. That's awesome. They also reported over 26,000 less serious reactions. The agency withheld individual report details, citing alleged privacy and related issues. Despite the censorship and suppression by the Biden administration and big tech, the American people benefit more, not less, by information about the COVID-19 vaccines. This new document shows that politics and with the critical race theory approach infects VA decision making on the allocation of health insurance to veterans. Now, I'm not talking about the veterans, I'm not talking about the Biden, but I'm saying this is information of some of the side effects of COVID-19. We have other lists. We shared last week about Congressman Roberts that had the hearing and had that little girl at 13 years old and she's in a wheelchair on a breathing thing. Time and time again, there's side effects. All medicines have side effects, right? And we have to decide whether or not the risk outplays the benefit. But they're not letting this come out. Today, last week, middle of last week, they started going door to door, knocking on every household, seeing if you had the shot yet. In some instances, they're bringing the shot with them. They'll stab you right there in your doorway if you want it done. At the same time, they'll be asking questions about your religious beliefs and gun ownership. Now, I'm just sharing this with you because you're not hearing it out there. I mean, myself, they come knock on my door. I'm not opening the door. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to talk to nobody. But even in the Veteran Association, they send letters out to every veteran, encourage them to get this shot. I mean, not sending the same letter as this, Kenny. They don't send that out there and say, well, this is the side effect. Hey, I'll decide my medical things, amen? If I'm at high risk, I think, boy, I never survived COVID, I'll take the shot, even though I know it might cause this or this. You would want that. You would want to know the side effects. It's like saying, hey, this is fun, let's go party tonight. But here's a side effect. Death, hell, for eternity. Well, at least you know what you're getting into, right? So I'm not sure what it's leading into, but going door to door now, hiring people. One country, just another country, it's made it mandatory you got to have the shot to do anything. That kind of reminds you in Revelation when it lines up with the mark of the beast. You got to have the mark. This isn't the mark. I'm not saying it's a mark. But they're getting people programmed. And what they're trying to do, for whatever reason it is, they're trying to wear people down. I'm just going to get it and get it over with. Amen? Some people are doing that. Some people are saying, okay, I'm just going to get it. I'm tired of it. I'm going to get it and get it over with. Me, myself, think, okay, why? Why is it so much involved in this? I don't know. I do know behind this is Mr. Gates. And he believes in eliminating the population. He'll tell you that. He's a globalist. He's been vaccinating third world countries. And the vaccine, a shot that you no longer can reproduce. Mr. Gates, 1.5 billion just in the Planned Parenthood to abort babies. His pharmaceutical investments is behind the shot we're getting. Now, if he wants to eliminate the population of third world countries, he wants to abort our babies. Now you want me to believe you want me to take this shot to save my life? Again, this information, decide for yourself. But that's what's going on now. And they're having more lotteries, offering more money. And then I would believe probably in the near future they'll be paying you money to turn somebody in that you had vaccine. I mean, it's just how things build. I'm just, again, just bringing it out there to you. I want people just to know what's going on in the news. And the truth part of it. Yes?
There's a person on Fox News. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you haven't had it anyway, yes. And now they come out maybe a third strand or a third shot. I went through it in February last year. I had it come through after 3 weeks. I'm immune. I mean, I'm okay now. 99.9% recovery rate on it. In Ohio, I think it's 1.2% had it critically, and like 0.08% died from it, okay? Or died with it, I'll put it that way. There's a difference, dying from it and dying with it. But this is some information that comes out. Another thing I want to share with you in Canada again. That was July the 14th also. Canada had 45 Christian churches attacked, burnt, on an ongoing anti-Christian terror campaign in Canada. They're not attacking the mosques. They're not attacking, what else was it? Synagogues. This was a synagogue. Northern neighbors would have had a day of mourning. It was a mosque. If it was a mosque, yeah. Prime Minister Tadu, yeah, he'd be on the scene putting it out because they are coming against the Christians. Coming against the church. These are days that we're foretold. That's what we're living in. This information isn't to scare you, it's to prepare you. Another thing, Representative Donaldson told us last week, this was on, I can't see the date, it always says 19 hours ago, but it was 2 days ago, is that our government, Secretary Blinken, isn't that right? He wants to bring in the United Nations, the UN, into our country to examine racism. folks, President Trump got us out of the UN like he should have. They hate Israel. They hate what we believe in. They hate the right for life. They hate Jesus. They want to bring him in. Outside eyeballs looking at racism. It's one world order. Again, showing you how close we're getting to that. Amen? Again, we talked about Second Amendment rights. I don't think there's a soldier alive that would come in your house to take your gun. I don't believe so. They've got an oath. The United Nations will. See how things are being prepared to kind of lining up? And the last thing I'll share before I get my scripture is they announced the other day, the press secretary for Biden, that they're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread this information. Disinformation. It doesn't say lies. Disinformation is information that they don't agree with. I don't know how many times I've been in jail the last couple of months, Facebook jail, for just posting the truth. If I post something, even whatever it might be, I get blocked or I get a thing, only you can see this. If I share anything about COVID-19, good information, not just propaganda, I get flagged. I mean, it's just amazing. And I'll tell you, something happened to us last week. Carol got hacked, her Facebook account got hacked. And somebody got messages where she won $100,000. And I know, I tell you what, we had one lady, God bless her. We had one lady even call the house and left a message. Sweet lady, I mean, married for years. Carol, wow, is it right? you won $100,000? Congratulations. Give me a call. So, yeah, already want to borrow it. And she called her. She said, well, I tell my husband that Carol Lawrence won $100,000. And he goes, oh, no, no, that's Pastor Lawrence's wife. They wouldn't be gambling. So I got on her account, and Carol, and I think Ryan, somebody helped you too. They're going to change your passwords, okay? But I get on her page, and I thought, honey, you got your name? And you got your age, date of birth and stuff. We need to get rid of that. Because, you know. So I go in there to change it. And I can't find date of birth of zero anywhere, you know. And so I go in and I mark it 2 years old. I go there. Somebody's going to use that. And I clicked it and this little thing comes up and says, if you're only two, you're not old enough to have a Facebook account. I thought, wow. And I should have been thinking, but so I made her 7 years old. And you know, I thought, oh, I'll just click that, you know. They shut her down. It froze her account. She lost everything of communications she had. She had no texting, no messaging. All that was gone. That quick. And it was like 10 minutes, like, that's weird. All of her conversation with her kids and stuff, most of it is through this. You know? And so, I had to get on and start tracking this down. And anyway, it finally, about 10 minutes later, gave me a message saying, if this isn't your age, give us your photo ID and we'll scan it, okay? So, Carol just got a license renewed. Nothing. This is funny. It's sad. It's funny. I wanted to take off her date of birth because I didn't want them to have it, you know. But now, in order to get her back online, I had to take her driver's license, lay it down, and they said, now put your camera over top of it. And I did. And somebody out there, they took a picture of it. My phone clicked. And they took a picture of it. How they did it, I don't know. I mean, hi there. And 5 minutes later, she's back online again. So I went from not having her date of birth out there to having her driver's license number, her weight, hair color, and all that stuff out there. Yeah. But the share of that is that how quick they can do it. So I cautioned those, all areas. Any surveys, you get surveys in the mail, fill it out. You might get one that says, oh, Republican Party, fill out this and mail it back. There's a database building on each one of you. When you click something saying, oh, a sport guns, yeah, Second Amendment right. It goes over here. A Christian, Marriage defined by the Bible? And I'm telling you, that quick, we'll be shut down. Our normal form of communication is going to be gone. They know your cell phones. That quick. So I say this, is start thinking about, now I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I'm just realization. Start thinking of alternative communications. CB? Ham? I don't know. It's going to take place. It's just a matter of when. Loved ones? I mean, hey, listen, if we go blank, here's our meeting point. And don't say, Tim Hortons, I'm going to be there. So you got to pick your own place. But really, I mean, you know, most of us, when you got kids in the house and you have this meeting place that, hey, listen, house catch on fire, y'all fire right out, and we'll go behind the shed, that's where we'll meet at, you know, and we'll count heads. We need the same way. We need to prepare for this. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen, guys. I mean, it's just building up and up, this database stuff. And I wanted to plow today. I was going to plow in the Revelation 6, but I don't. It took me an hour to plow. I won't plow out long with you guys today. But all this leads up in the book of Revelations where it talks about the seven seals. Okay? And the seven seals in Revelation 6 lines up with Matthew 24 when it talks about the signs of his return. And we're going to step into that next week. Okay? Oh, wait, I won't be here next week. Okay. I'll make a CD of this and I'll sell CDs to everybody. Okay? But a share of this is that God is coming quickly. Understand that. He's coming quicker than you could ever imagine. And the wrath is coming. And it's coming greatly. But one scripture I will share with you today. I want to leave here on an encouraging note. If I can find it. Yes, I know, but I got to find that one. Aww. Oh, there it is, I think. Yes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 9. In fact, I read the whole chapter earlier, and it makes you want to start dancing. You know what I'm saying? It's just awesome. First Thessalonians 5, verse 9. He's talking about his children, those who are born again. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. We're not destined for that wrath that's coming. Understand that. When them seals are broken, chapter 6 of Revelation, the church, those who are following him, are removed. He does not put his children through the 7 years of tribulation. Matthew, I believe it is 24, where he talks about the signs of pestilence and wars and rumors. You get a chance this week, then I won't be back for 2 weeks, but I'm going to be back on this subject. Look at Revelation 6, and look at the seven seals, and take it to Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the signs of his return, and you'll see the pestilence, you'll see the wars, all that line. He was talking, he was really giving the revelation before he gave it to John on the island. And he's saying that we are not destined for that. That we will be removed from here. It's going to get ugly, but see what's happening? See how things are lining up? One world government, they want to bring the UN in. They're going to find a way to bring it in. Okay? One world currency. Look at that. And you'll see that in Revelation 6. But the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell anything without having this mark. It has to be some type of mark, and the currency is going to be the same for everybody. You'll see in there we're going to be 10 kingdoms, and one will raise up above that, which is the Antichrist. All this stuff that takes place, all this pestilence and stuff takes place, all this chaos is done right at the beginning, I mean, full force, when the church is removed. That raises Antichrist up. Oh, we need something. And here he comes. And everybody gives allegiance to him. Some of us think, well, listen, I'm going to live my life the way I want. If that rapture thing happens that the pastor talks about, then I'll just give my life to the Lord during the tribulation period. Two things. Number one is, the minute the church is removed, the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is removed. Your prayers right now, you think it's bad now. If you weren't praying, interceding, you talk about hell on earth, it'd be worse than anything. When the Holy Spirit removed, and the Holy Spirit is bringing the conviction that lives in us, you won't have a desire. Chances are you'll be embracing the world things. You'll be taking the mark. I mean, can you imagine? You ever been hungry before? You know, I can probably say I've never been hungry. I've had my belly growl a couple of times. But can you imagine sitting around watching a loved one starving? And he's taking this mark, you can get food for him. I mean, a lot of prayer, you won't have the strength to, I mean, you don't want to do that. Today is the day of salvation. It's the day of surrendering your life to the Lord. It's the day to confess your sins and receive Him as Savior and Lord and turn and follow Him, hang on to Him. It would be a struggle. It would be a struggle pulling you out of the mud. Do you get stuck in the mud? I've been stuck in gum boots, clear up my knees before. You got to pull. You got to work your way out, okay? But it's possible, amen? Same way with the Lord, it's possible. I mean, everything's possible. He'll give you the strength to overcome these things, to get your eyes on that cross and follow Him. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't compromise. Anything in your house is stinking up the nostrils of God, throw it out. Get rid of it. Any confession you got to make that confession. Any forgiveness you got to offer, give that forgiveness. Get it right with God and keep your nose on Him and follow Him, because the days are coming. It looks like very soon, in just a couple of weeks, they're going to overturn this election. Understand this. They're going to overturn this election, I do believe, and the devil ain't going to take it lightly. Understand that. Oh, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a favor for the church. I mean, but I'm telling you, they're going to come after it full force. Full force. But we got God on our side. And He will lead us day by day. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you guidance. He'll tell you whether, hey, you're going to stay home for a while. You know, prepare yourself to have church at home for a little while. Just saying that. If chaos breaks loose, I mean, folks, I would not bring you down here on Main Street if we turn out to be an Oregon here or a Michigan. What I'm talking about, where they're burning a courthouse and cutting trees down, we're going to worship at home. Amen. I might come in town, but for a different reason. But just be prepared. And don't let it... Man, where's God at? He's already told us in advance. The birth pains. Oh, man, that means his glory. He's going to be glorified through this. God will be glorified if we go through this thing. Like never before. Oh, my lands. And I believe the eyes of people is going to be open. The scales going to be dropped down. And they're going to truly see how you've been living your life, or how you've been talking about the Lord, how you've been, man, how you got through things. And those who think today, well, you don't think it because you know there's hope in Christ, but those who the world says there's no hope for, that man, they're the scum of the earth, that they're, God's got a plan and purpose. You're going to see many of them turning to the Lord. You're going to take plenty of Sauls and turn them into Pauls. You understand that? It's going, but so, He's already warned you up, be prepared, be prayed up. In the Word, and be prepared. As Brother Bob reminded us last week, make sure you get some toilet paper on hand. Because it's going to get real, but man, it's going to be awesome for His glory. Amen.